time to enlighten up and health yourself at the same time. It's Natural Solutions Radio with Sir Eliezer Ben-Joseph, traditional naturopath.
Let me introduce myself. I am Dr. Eliezer Ben-Joseph, a naturopath of the First Order. I come from an Orthodox Jewish background with an unbroken line of rabbis back to the 15th century. I've had life experiences that most people only see in the movies, including my own four-hour clinical death experience and rebirth. I have an education in the alternative medicine, natural health care movement that most doctors can only dream about. I have 30 years of clinical experience in the field as a working naturopath. I am also the host of Natural Solutions Radio, a call-in talk radio show that has been on the air for 17 years. I want you to sit back and enjoy a journey throughout the cosmos. I want to share with you the mysteries of the universe. From the smallest drop of blood to the largest galaxies, I want you to see the glory of God that is manifested all around you. With my Orthodox religious background, my understanding in science, and my death experience and rebirth, with 17 years talking on the radio, and as my radio byline says, I am here to help you to learn, to health yourself and enlighten up at the same time. I want to take you from the emptiness of secular science to the profound beauty and fullness of the new electric universe manifested by God. I'm here to reveal rarely published information from the new great plasma cosmologists and plasma physicists that have produced the new theories of the electric universe. This is not my own information, though it took years to assemble. There will be information that will astound you with facts and concepts you have never heard before. I want you to think with an open mind. I want to spark your curiosity. I want to stimulate your thinking. There is a great misunderstanding and ignorance about the universe and how we fit into this great cosmos. And the only cure for ignorance is knowledge. And knowledge takes effort. Once you have knowledge, what do you do with it? Self-knowledge without self-change is self-abuse. We have all something to learn, and what is important is to take heed in the lessons to be learned. Everything that happens throughout our lives is a learning experience. It is either a stepping stone or a stumbling block. The only difference between the two is how we relate to it. Sit back, listen, and learn. For a wise man changes his mind, a fool never. There are two roads, two schools of thought in science before us, and we have a choice of which direction we choose, for it will affect all our lives in many ways. Science has departed from the traditional aspect of empirical studies produced by an experiment or observation. This is no more evident than in the present studies of cosmology, with the almost total exclusion of the new theories of plasma cosmology in the electric universe. We have the study of cosmology that has been hijacked by mathematicians. This presentation is about the battle for God and science that is going on today everywhere. This is a battle where truth is being stifled by the misguided dogma of the Orthodox scientific community that studies cosmology. The great question has always been about the existence of God. Is there a God? From the religious point of view, God has taken on faith, and the belief in divinity is given. Yet from the scientific or secular view, there is doubt. Science is not satisfied with belief or faith. They want to know. They want irrefutable proof of the existence of God or divinity. It is my task, from a scientific viewpoint, to bring you my investigations and answers to this question, an answer that will satisfy the rational mind. I believe that science has solved this problem, and in this presentation you will discover the truth for yourself. Despite the warnings of plasma physicists and cosmology scientists, who base their knowledge on empirical, objective, observable, predictable, duplicatable in the lab knowledge, most science, especially cosmology and the study of the universe, has now been taken over by theoretical mathematicians. It is they who now dominate the entire field of cosmology and are stuck with their abstract, exotic, hypothetical mathematical models that fail to be proven in any lab. This mathematical path has led to a universe that is devoid of God. This presentation will dispel the myths and confusion for you through the scientific method and observation that shows the proof of God and signs. For the true explanation is that we live in a different universe than that what we are being told. The universe is not a vacuum and controlled by gravity. It is an electric universe controlled by electromagnetic forces where charged particles and plasma interact to create the universe we observe. Let's start by looking at the very foundation of what is taught in science, physics, and cosmology today. That is the now present thinking in understanding how the universe works. There are four basic principles that all science embraces and the entire foundation of the study of cosmology rests on. 1. Gravity rules the universe. 2. Space is a vacuum. There is no ether. 3. Nothing travels faster than the speed of light. 4. Hubble's constant regarding the expansion of the universe. These principles are the bedrock that present science relies on and is the entire basis of physics today. Science has automatic pathways that must be used to prove all principles for anything to be true. To this date, the hypothetical mathematical models of the Big Bang, the expanding universe of dark matter and dark energy and black holes, all remaining mysterious, completely undetected and unproven, and only mathematical theories. The principles of science have always been about a methodical process through which science seeks to determine the secrets of the natural world by using the scientific method. The scientific method is a process scientists must follow in determining the workings of the universe. There are 5 basic components to the scientific method. 1. From observations of the natural world, determine the nature of the phenomenon that is interesting to you. As an example, ask a question or identify a problem. 2. Develop one or more hypotheses or educated guesses to explain this phenomenon. The hypotheses must be predictive given a set of circumstances, then the hypotheses will predict an outcome. 3. Devise experiments to test the hypotheses. All valid scientific hypotheses must be testable. 4. Analyze the experimental results and determine to what degree the results fit the predictions of the hypothesis. And 5. Further modify and repeat the experiments. In cosmology science, these same principles must be followed. Scientists do not study about God or anything to do with God. We study scientific principles. We are always attempting to look for the great principles of science, and the greatest principle of all is that of the creation of the universe. The great first principle of creation is known as the great singularity, and in science, it is what started this universal cosmic journey. I will show in this presentation that the very foundation, those 4 basic principles, the very bedrock of all cosmology, are wrong. According to Stephen Hawking, one of the greatest living British theoretical physicists, cosmologist, and author alive today, has written his new book called The Grand Design. In the book are a number of assumptions that are quite profound and might affect the direction that science may take for years to come. He states, and I quote, "You don't need God for the creation of the universe. That because there is a law such as gravity, the universe can and will create itself from nothing. And there is no heaven or afterlife. That is a fairy story for people who are afraid of the dark." Unquote. He takes this concept and expands it to such an extent as to encompass all that we are taught in the sciences today. And he does it in such a way that to disagree with him is paramount to academic suicide. Hawking uses as the very foundation of all his knowledge for all his books those 4 basic principles that are the entire basis of physics and cosmology as taught in schools today, and they are wrong. Because they are wrong from the outset, so are all of his conclusions about the nature of the universe and his understanding of God. There are actually two schools of thought in physics and cosmology. First, with the accepted traditional scientific approach according to Hawking. He, building on Einstein and all the other orthodox theoretical mathematical physicists, states that the universe is ruled by gravity and that all space is an empty vacuum with no attributes, and all bodies that exist floating in this space vacuum are neutral in charge. Stephen Hawking's conclusion is that because of this law of gravity, it leads him to proclaim that you do not need God for the creation of the universe. It just appears from nothing. Yes, the entire universe created from nothing. This makes perfect sense, doesn't it? I'm here to tell you that no matter how smart Hawking and the other scientists are, they are wrong. You will find out that the entire foundation of science that he and all the other orthodox scientists use to build their lofty theoretical mathematical theories of the expanding universe, black holes, pulsars, quasars, and their neutron stars in the center, all with only gravity and its theoretical mathematics holding it all together, is incorrect or totally wrong in its approach. This battle is being waged everywhere, with God versus science. Many books are being written, all asking the question, is God even necessary? As I will show in this presentation, the proper foundation in physics and in all cosmology is electromagnetism, electrified plasma, and the ethers, with all its laws created and put in place in the beginning. By just how and by what we call God. I maintain that the universe is the very signature of God. You will be the judge. So what do we finally come to with Hawking and traditional scientists? Atheism. The belief that there was nothing, and nothing happened to nothing. Then nothing magically exploded for no reason, creating everything. Then a bunch of everything magically rearranged itself, for no reason whatsoever, into self-replicating bits that then turned into dinosaurs, continuing to replicate, and here we are, man. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? We still have the question of the two schools of thought in science. Which do we choose? In which direction shall we go? Theoretical mathematics or empirical science? The gravity-based universe or the electric universe? When explained in its fullest, they lead to either a God-based or an atheistic-based foundation of thought. Well, the truth is, you can't get something from nothing. Saying space is truly a vacuum of nothingness, how can you get something from nothing? This goes against the fundamental premise of modern physics. The Big Bang is an illogical and unproven scientific contradiction. It then follows that there are no black holes or expanding universe. This is all made-up science. It's all mathematical conjecture. In this presentation, it is the universe itself that will show the truth, expressed all around us. Thus far, mainstream scientists seem happy to rely on old mathematical abstractions instead of looking at the empirical evidence. We must change directions as billions of dollars of research money and grants are being invested in scientific ideology that no longer proves to be true, causing the various positions held at different universities to be at stake. Science must be free to explore in the direction it leads and let empirical science prevail without being encumbered by orthodox dogma. And it is a waste of the mind and millions of dollars. We must remember that billions of dollars have been invested in traditional old-school ideology and cosmology and done nothing more than be wasted and washed down the drain. Long ago, it was believed that the sun revolved around the earth and that the earth was flat, until scientists risked their lives going against prevailing wisdom by proving the truth. Science must come from principles that can be proved empirically, in a laboratory, or observed in nature. This we can research, and it is this that we do research. Think of these concepts of scientific principles versus the concepts of the universe as stated in the Bible. The scientific explorations of the creation of the universe in its mathematical order and perfection that is completely self-sustaining cannot be denied. We can now truthfully know that the universe follows a specific mathematical order in its creation, and that this order of manifestations cannot be changed. This order of following laws is the beauty and divinity of creation. We can now state that the great principle in science has been defined. It can be said that the great first principle of creation of the universe is that of creation itself. All else springs from this creation, and it is the universe itself that is the manifestation of this creation.
Truth is an ever-elusive principle. One can create a theory with an overwhelming amount of support, yet one valid piece of contrary evidence can strike it down. As such, science and scientific theories are ever evolving as new ideas using new technologies, such as the Hubble Space Telescope that allow us to create and test hypotheses in new and exciting ways. In this presentation, I will show that when you think of the great first principle of creation, known as that great singularity, it is the universe being manifested, and it is God that manifests. When you substitute the word principle with the word God, we then have an exact scientific definition of God in its all its beautiful mathematical order that cannot be argued against, changed, or disproved. Furthermore, God is that which creates, constitutes, governs, sustains, and contains all. By the end of this presentation, you will come to understand this statement as a complete concept in its fullest manner. Going back in history, as far as humans have existed, we have looked up in the sky and we have witnessed wondrous and mysterious occurrences. We see rainbows and we wonder. Rainbows appearing over and over with all of their beautiful colors after the rain. We followed the moon and learned the phases of the moon to learn of the seasons, to be able to know when to plant and when to harvest our food. We learned to navigate, travel the globe from pole to pole to see the worlds in a new light. With our new understanding of time, we followed the moon and built great monuments as calendars that would last for all of time. We looked up in the sky and we saw the Milky Way with all its billions and billions of stars, and we wondered. For thousands of years, sons have stood with their fathers to look up and see comets shooting across the sky. We have looked up and studied the skies and saw planets that moved in predictable patterns. When our ancestors saw shooting stars shoot across the sky, they wondered. Were they the bringer of doom and destruction? We saw the aurora borealis and wondered what it was and thought the sky was alive and breathing, and again we wondered at it all. Seeing the aurora borealis, you can't help notice that it truly does look as if the earth is alive and the sky is breathing.
This evidence of the same patterns of electrical discharge occurs not only in the micro patterns on humans or on the earth, yet also the macro patterns occurring in space, in electrical patterns we see in nebulas, gas clouds, and galaxies as well. These patterns are called Birkeland currents, with Lichtenberg branching lines of electrical force. They are named after Christian Birkeland, a Norwegian scientist doing research on electricity during the late 1800s and early 1900s, along with Nikola Tesla. They are universal in their scope and demonstrate similar patterns everywhere, from the micro to the macro. By the way, a unique feature of people that have been hit by lightning and lived, they may have some paralysis, yet the presence of most of their diseases disappear, including most cancers. In seeing the awesome power of lightning throughout the world, the ancients believed that it was the thunderbolt that steered the universe, and it was not gravity.
In fact, German archaeologists have discovered and documented the finding of ancient forms of electrical batteries near modern-day Baghdad. These are now on display in the National Museum of Baghdad. Books are now being written explaining the new theories of cosmology and how electromagnetism predicts all phenomena observed in the universe by the new space telescopes like Hubble. Thousands of years ago, the ancients talked about healing with energy. It wasn't until the Industrial Revolution that we began developing different ideas about the use of electricity and magnetism as a healing source. Tesla did experiments using electricity for healing and was far ahead of his time in understanding how electricity might be used in medicine. One of the unique aspects observed by the ancients was seeing stones on the ground that acted different from all the other stones. They attracted material that stuck to the rock. Over the years, they discovered that these special rocks had an exceptional quality, and it was called magnetism, something almost magical. The ancients observed how these rocks gave off an almost magical force. I don't have a picture here, yet there's an interesting demonstration using magnets that show the relative power of the magnetic force when compared to gravitational force. We will use the example of a metal paperclip sitting on a table. The entire mass and gravity of the Earth is acting and pulling on that paperclip, and it is the gravity that prevents it from flying off into space. Yet take a little 10-cent child's horseshoe magnet and hold it above the paperclip, and it will be picked right up off the table. One small magnet can overcome the entire mass gravity of the Earth. This simple experiment demonstrates the power of electromagnetism, which is a billion, 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 billion times more powerful than gravity. Remember, electromagnetism is 10 to the 39th power more powerful than gravity. That is the number 1 with 39 zeros after it. This amount is so large a number, so removed from our daily lives, that to us it is something incomprehensible. How can scientists believe such a weak force like gravity can dominate and rule the universe that crackles and hums with power from the enormous quantities of electricity and electromagnetism that fills all of space? One of the greatest discoveries of all time that changed the way we live in this world was that magnetism gave us the ability to know how to tell direction. This, of all things, gave us the ability to navigate the high seas and travel the world. The Earth has its own complete magnetic field with north and south poles called the magnetosphere. The Earth's magnetic field reaches 36,000 miles into space, and the magnetosphere prevents most of the charged particles coming from the sun, carried by the solar wind, from blasting through our atmosphere and thus protecting the Earth. These magnetic lines of force that surround the Earth follow the same pattern of lines of force that a small stone magnet creates. Only the size is different. Scientists have discovered living cells called magnetosomes in all living tissues, plants, animals, and yes, even humans. It is now well established that the Earth's magnetic field is used by animals such as honeybees, whales, birds, crabs, and lobsters as an intermagnetic GPS to navigate the entire globe. Even the human body has cells in the brain that are sensitive to magnetic fields. A process called biomineralization creates these tiny living micromagnets. Scientists believe these magnetic cells might be responsible for how life evolved on Earth. Humans, as part of the animal kingdom, also possess a magnetic sense, or a sixth sense, that is increased through the number of magnetosome cells in the body. This is why some people are more naturally sensitive to magnetic fields. Going back to the ancients, we learn that Aristotle, who lived from 384 BC to 322 BC, taught the elements of the earth, that the physical world was made up of five elements, earth, water, fire, and air. Tying these four lower elements together was a fifth element known as the ether. Later, the ether came to be known as the stuff of the vacuum, as the Latin root vacus means empty. The Greeks believed that nature abhors a vacuum, so they could not imagine space as being totally empty. They believed the ether was the substratum of the material world, a subtle medium in which the elements intercommunicated. From the ancients, we had the division of the elements and how those elements interacted to form all things throughout nature and the universe. The density of the elements was the differentiation. The systemic progression from the densest element, earth, to the finer elements, water, fire, air, and finally ether being the finest, defined the elements. Everything was looked at how the elements with their different density formed together. Today, we call it frequency, from the lowest frequency to the highest. The law that the ancients believed was the higher frequency ruled the lower frequency, yet the higher frequency is affected by the lower frequency. With water as an example, whenever a piece of ice is put into a container of water, the ice always melts and the water gets colder. When you lower the frequency of water, it turns to ice. When you raise the frequency of water, it turns to steam, yet it is still water. It seems that the ancients knew of plasma, ancient rock art from Europe, the USA, and Asia, and on every continent in the world. These picture glyphs seem to be the same as pictures of plasma created in a laboratory. Did the ancients know about plasma? Biological life would not be possible anywhere without plasma, an electrical phenomenon. The role it plays has been historically underestimated. One must not forget that light is a form of electricity, and when you consider how crucial light is to our ecosystem, the true importance of electricity becomes apparent. So the ancients knew that there was an energy field surrounding each individual and even the entire earth. In addition, it is now theorized that subtle electrical energy fields that surround our body also plays a major role in our moods and in the circadian rhythms of the brain. The pineal gland in the human brain is very sensitive to electromagnetic fields, and it is the pineal gland that produces melatonin, a hormone that regulates our sleep cycle, and further, which regulates our aging process as we sleep. Numerous books have been written on magnetism and how to use magnetism in medicine. It is now being used for pain management and to increase healing by increasing blood circulation. We use magnetic insoles in our shoes for diabetic neuropathy and spot magnets to increase circulation in specific areas of the body. We use magnetic bracelets and necklaces to increase the velocity of blood and improve circulation for the entire body. How do magnets work in the body? We know that magnets attract iron, and iron in the blood exists in the form of hemoglobin and is therefore attracted to the magnets, causing a profound positive effect on the blood. The entire blood recirculates throughout the body every 8 to 9 minutes. As the blood cells flow past the magnets, they increase velocity and polarize, allowing the blood cells to pick up more life-giving oxygen and increase the overall energy to the cells. Multiple experiments have shown a reduction in blood viscosity thanks to the magnetic fields. There is a fantastic story about the science of blood and hemoglobin. Again, it is the red part of the blood that carries oxygen, and this hemoglobin is prominent in the story of the battle for God and science. In April 1953, James Watson and Francis Crick presented the structure of the DNA helix, the molecule that carries genetic information from one generation to the other. Watson came to the conclusion that human evolution was impossible when he analyzed the human hemoglobin molecule. His ideas were strictly based on mathematics, and what he said was, looking at the red blood cells, and specifically hemoglobin, you come to the conclusion that genetic mutation and the theory of evolution cannot account for the development of the hemoglobin molecule. It takes 19 different amino acids to create the hemoglobin molecule, and only one exact sequence of amino acids can become hemoglobin. Each one of the amino acids are long chains of proteins and can number between one pair and 69 pairs in each length. If you take 19 different amino acids, each having 69 mathematical possibilities, you get 10 to the 650th possibilities just to make hemoglobin, and only one combination works. When we look at evolution, we are looking at gene mutations. So we must ask, with this many possible computations on only one way will successfully work, then how often does a genetic mutation occur? Remember that it is the genetic mutation that ultimately creates a modification in the cell that either is good, bad, or indifferent. According to modern science, it took a billion years to create the first single cell organism called a prokaryocyte, a single cell without a nucleus. It took another billion years to create the second cell called a eukaryocyte, a single-celled animal with a nucleus. The Earth is approximately 4.5 billion years old. However, 65 million years ago, 90% or more of all life on Earth was wiped out from a cataclysmic event when a comet hit the Earth. So anything that has evolved to this date has taken at least 65 million years to form. We are not talking a lot of time, especially in geological time. There are only three different types of genetic mutations that can occur. A positive mutation that creates a positive change, a negative mutation that creates a negative or destructive change, or a harmless mutation that doesn't do either. Out of the three different types of genetic mutations, we are only looking for the ones that create positive, beneficial, life-enhancing change. According to the Big Bang theory, the age of the universe is about 13.5 billion years old, or 10 to the 17th power. When measured in the number of seconds of elapsed time, back to the beginning of the universe. I question, how often does a genetic mutation occur? Once a second? Once a minute? Once a day? A week? Or a month? Even if a mutation had occurred every second, there still is not enough seconds in the age of the universe to make hemoglobin. I throw in another number that is incomprehensible. There are 10 to the 66th power number of atoms in the universe. We are talking about huge numbers here, and when you begin thinking about the total number of computations needed in order to make something as basic as hemoglobin, you realize that there is no possible way a genetic mutation could have occurred in this amount of time. It doesn't appear to have just happened. So, was it created and given to us? Going back to magnets, we now use magnetic pulsing on areas of pain or in the brain to stop migraine headaches and seizures and to help affect ADD and depression. We also now use magnets in magnetic resonance imaging, or MRI, throughout medicine. And the images produced are phenomenal. We can literally see inside the body using magnetism. We even have magnetic levitating trains that travel on magnetic fields at super speeds. The present history of electricity starts with Benjamin Franklin, Another famous individual in the science of electricity is Michael Faraday. He lived 1791 to 1867 and is the celebrated English physicist who made the discovery that electricity is generated when a wire coil is rotated near a strong magnet or by moving a magnet inside a coil of wire. The effect formed the basis for the modern-day generators that we use to produce electrical power. It's the same electromagnetic principle at work in a spinning turbine. The science of the day laughed. Worse still, they called him a charlatan and a fraud. Often in history, great minds have encountered ridicule. I remember a quote from Albert Einstein. It comes to mind. He said, "Great spirits have always encountered violent opposition from mediocre minds." Today, many scientists suffer a form of selective amnesia when it comes to fully crediting the science pioneers. Hence, there is a lack of recognition and credit regarding new plasma physics and cosmology. Elegant mathematical models based on gravity alone are simply not enough to explain the relative complexity of electromagnetism. Tesla developed alternating or AC current, the kind we use today for all our electric products, and also the wiring in homes and buildings. However, Edison beat Tesla to the patent office, claiming AC current was his invention. An obvious lie. He stole AC current from Tesla. He took all the credit and the profit from AC current and never acknowledged Tesla's genius. Tesla was forgotten in history, and Edison became wealthy. Here is another perfect example of how many brilliant scientists are often ignored by mediocre scientists. Tesla put on elaborate demonstrations of electrical lightning that he created through electrical generators way back in the early part of the 20th century. Tesla had articles in numerous magazines. However, history does not credit his revelations about the electrodynamics of lightning and magnetism and the possibilities of their use. Plasma is often called the fourth or first state of matter, the most mysterious primal state of matter. Plasma is the primordial state of matter before it even becomes matter. It is the blank canvas before the artist colors it into specific shapes. The other three states of matter are solid, liquid, and gas that are structured into atoms that form molecules, and molecules form all the things we are familiar with. Plasma differs from solids, liquids, and gases insofar as its atoms are divided into free, floating, negative, and positive ions. These Lichtenberg currents, fern-like fractal structures, are quite common in electricity and manifest throughout nature. You will see it everywhere throughout all of the manifestations in the universe, from the macro of super strings of galaxies to the micro inside our bodies and blood and everywhere in between. The perfection in the order of the physical laws of the universe that binds us all. With the knowledge of electricity and plasma, we can see how electricity switched on the world. We also take for granted what electricity gives us in the way of magnetism, static electricity, currents, circuits, and magnetic fields, electromagnets, motors, and generators. Electricity now rules our lives in every aspect. From the different ways that energy is produced and delivered to our homes, to power every type of convenience that is then used in every household. Human beings are now more connected to electricity and its lights than to the earth and sun. Mainstream astronomy still ignores, for the most part, the importance of plasma and electromagnetism and electrodynamics operating in the universe. There are two main reasons for this, historical and ideological. First, gravitational systems were proposed and sanctified by Sir Isaac Newton. He thinks and comes up with the law of universal gravitation. The law of universal gravitation defines gravity as an attractive force that acts on every particle of matter in the universe. Newton then went on to create differential calculus, which enabled him to describe the motion of the planets and led to the motion of the stars and galaxies. However, there was a problem with Newton's mathematics. It works well within our solar system, yet when applied to large-scale objects like galaxies and clusters of galaxies, it begins to break down. It falls apart through its failure of predicting anything now observed by Hubble or other ground or space-based telescopes. To make gravity work, mathematicians have had to create unseen, untouchable, theoretical mathematical inventions such as black holes, neutron stars, dark matter, and dark energy. All of these conjured-up space objects were required by the theoretical mathematical scientists in order to smooth over new data indicating that not only was the universe expanding, its expansion was somehow accelerating rather than remaining steady or slowing down. The universe was rapidly expanding, defying the power of gravity. This, of course, is relying on the faulty standard Big Bang theory and the faulty interpretation of the redshift that is used to measure the distance and speed of stars. Both Einstein and Newton failed to mention electromagnetism in their theories. Newton might be forgiven because he only had oil and kerosene to provide lighting. Also, what did Newton or anyone else know about electricity or electromagnetism? However, Einstein was a contemporary of Nikola Tesla, and they argued often about the universe and its makeup. Einstein's division of the elements of the universe were time, space, energy, matter, and thought. He excluded the ether and substituted the space-time continuum. Tesla argued for electromagnetism and the ether as the driving force in the universe. Einstein argued for gravity as the basis of the universe. It was Einstein's theories that won and became the holy grail of science. The idea that some kind of ether medium existed prevailed from ancient times until 1887, when Michelson and Morley did experiments. Nowadays, scientists argue that the Michelson and Morley experiment of 1884 proved scientifically that space is an empty vacuum, and that no such thing as the ether, the primordial stuff that is space, exists. And so Einstein also did not believe in the ether. He believed in the standard scientific model coming from Michelson and Morley. It is my belief that the doctrine of how matter is explained will shortly undergo a great paradigm of change. New discoveries are leading conventional scientists to come to recognize that the forces of magnetism, electricity, and gravity are simply different types of expressions of a single field that permeates the entire universe and comprises the fabric of all existence. It is the ether, the same as that of the ancient traditions. The ancient wisdoms are ever alive today. They do not die, for they do not age. They merely change their form. Albert Einstein, expanding exponentially upon the theories of Isaac Newton, the law of gravity, created the general theory of relativity, E equals mc squared. He defined gravity as a distortion in the shape of space-time. Eventually, all science came to believe that it was gravity alone that formed galaxies, stars, and planets, and that gravity alone holds the universe together. All this occurred before we knew about the underlying significance of electricity or electromagnetism. Stephen Hawking, expanding on all of the theories of Einstein, comes to the conclusion and states, because there is a law such as gravity, the universe can and will create itself out of nothing. Nothingness leads to nothingness, and nothingness creates nothing. It is absurd from the outset, and it is a waste of the mind, and millions of dollars. According to Tesla and others, gravity is not the only force at play in the universe, and certainly not the main force. Hawking was one of the scientists that failed and refused to recognize the effects of the stronger force of electromagnetic energy and how it affected the shapes and rotation of all galaxies, stars, and planets. Current quandaries in astronomy, astrophysics, and cosmology hint strongly that something is amiss, though most scientists can't quite put their finger on what it is. Galaxies' rotational curves do not fit standard model expectations based upon the amount of matter visible in them. Hawking, in his book A Brief History of Time, said, "When you put all the energy and matter of the cosmos into a pie and divvy it up, the result is shocking. All of the galaxies, stars, planets, comets, asteroids, dust, gas, and particles account for just 4% of the known universe. Most of what we call matter is invisible to human eyes and instruments. It's called dark matter." Gravity is often described as a property of mass, yet by their own mathematical formulas and theories, scientists have come to recognize there is not enough mass in most galaxies, including our own, to account or to explain their tendency not to totally fly and break apart and disintegrate. There must be something else that accounts for the dilemma. Dark matter and dark energy now allegedly make up over 90% of the universe and yet still remain mysteriously unproven and undetected. According to old-school, traditional, secular scientists' beliefs, in the beginning there was nothing, and this nothingness gathered unto itself and exploded, creating the entire universe we see today. This initial rapid expansion and inflation of the universe created all of the laws of physics we now observe. This is nothing more than a classic case of circular reasoning. I love this story. It sounds so logical, so obvious, and who would disagree? Scientists say that the strength of the scientific theory lies in its ability to make predictions. This presents a problem for the Big Bang theory, as it has failed to make any successful predictions to date. Furthermore, the Big Bang theory violates one of the best-tested laws of physics, the conservation of energy and matter, since it produces energy and matter at a titanic rate out of nothingness. To ignore this basic fundamental law of thermodynamics and plasma cosmology and plasma physics is astoundingly misguided and would never be acceptable in any other field of science, including physics. Dr. Hemant Alfen is widely regarded as the father of modern-day plasma physics. He won Nobel Prize for his work in 1970. And yet the cosmological aspects and implications of his work remain largely ignored and unrecognized. He stated about the Big Bang and the age of the universe, "There is no rational reason to doubt that the universe has existed indefinitely, for an infinite time. It is only myth that attempts to say how the universe came to be, either 4,000 or 20 billion years ago." Unfortunately, due to his constant criticism of the Big Bang theory, the expanding universe concept, along with dark matter, dark energy, pulsars, and neutron stars, he got the traditional physicist and scientist to be quite angry, and some of the powers that be caused his information not to be recognized. How could a Nobel Prize winner's work go completely unrecognized to this day? Was it his brilliance that threatened the monopoly of expensive grants for research that was hoarded by his lesser peers? Edwin Hubble, who lived from 1889 to 1953, developed a system for identifying the speed and distance of the stars relative to the Earth. This is the well-known Doppler effect we all know from hearing the sounds of passing sirens or trains. The pitch becomes higher when the source of the sound approaches us, and it becomes lower when the object moves away from us. Hubble determined that this also pertained to light waves. If the celestial object was moving towards us, its color shifted into the blue spectrum of light. And when it was moving away from us, from our viewpoint, the color turned into a red spectrum of light. He called these two changes a blue shift and red shift in light. When looking deep into space, observers looking at an object that is moving away from them see light that has a longer wavelength, a red shift, while observers looking at an approaching source see light shifted to shorter wavelengths, a blue shift. The red shift is an important piece of evidence for disproving the expanding universe theory, the distribution of galaxies and stars after the Big Bang according to the red shift. Plasma cosmology and their advocates want a return to common sense science, a return to classic empirical science, which does not value abstract math and exotic hypotheticals. As in the theory of dark matter that is thought to encompass 70% of the universe, Dr. Jim Peebles of Princeton University said, "It is an embarrassment that the dominant forms of matter in the universe remain hypothetical. What is continuously overlooked is the factoring in of plasma and electromagnetism. When added to the equations, it replaces the very need for these fanciful, theoretical, mathematical speculation." Unfortunately, empirical scientists today do not verify cosmology. Instead, theoretical mathematicians dominate it. Yet when something new comes into play, then everything changes. Most of the conventional gravity-based cosmology, how planets, moons, stars, solar systems, and galaxies interact, was developed using the physics of independent billiard balls, with gravity as the only field acting upon them. Scientists like Hawking still believe the theories from Einstein, that the space between stars and planets is an empty vacuum, even though we know now that space is teeming with charged particles and plasma fills the entire empty space throughout the universe. Science has changed throughout the years. Once, the Earth was thought of as the center of the universe and considered flat. Then it was not. Then the Earth was round, and later the Earth circled the sun. It was no longer the center of the universe. It was one tiny part of our Milky Way galaxy. The Milky Way was considered the only galaxy in the universe, and then it wasn't. It became one of billions and billions of galaxies floating in empty space throughout the universe. What has the theoretical mathematician finally given us? It is the mathematician that steers us down the wrong road while we carry the heavy load, and they still get the mathematics wrong. When you look at the genius of Nikola Tesla and the array of his inventions, it is almost overwhelming. One of the things Tesla was most frustrated about was the takeover of empirical science by mathematicians. He said, "Today's scientists have substituted mathematics for experiments, and they wander off through equation after equation and eventually build a structure that has no relation to reality." J.P. Morgan and Rockefeller that suppressed all of Tesla's work. It was politics and not truth that allowed Einstein's theories to prevail. His greatest understanding stifled because of the greed for money. One of the greatest inventions by Nikola Tesla was a Turing sedan with a black magic box that enabled the car to be powered by free energy pulled directly from the atmosphere. What would the world be like today with free energy being pulled directly from the air? In the summer of 1931, Nikola Tesla, the inventor of alternating current and the holder of some 1,200 U.S. patents, installed a box on the front seat of a brand new Pierce Arrow touring car at the company factory in Buffalo, New York. The box is said to have been 24 inches long, 12 inches wide, 6 inches high. Out of it protruded a 1.8 meter long antenna and two 1/4 inch metal rods. Inside the box was reputed to be some dozen vacuum tubes and other electrical parts. Two wire leads ran from the box to a newly installed 40 inch long, 30 inch diameter, AC 89 horsepower electric motor that replaced the gasoline engine. As the story goes, Tesla inserted the two metal rods and announced confidently, "We now have power," and then proceeded to drive the car for an entire week, often at speeds up to 90 miles per hour. One account says the motor developed 1,800 RPMs and got fairly hot when operating, requiring a cooling fan. This converter box is said to have generated enough electrical energy to also power the lights in a home, one small box that powers all the electricity in a home. Imagine what that would mean to the world, and more importantly, to you in today's economy. It would mean free electricity for our cars and our homes. However, this truth is being kept from the people who deny Tesla's actual proof. 80 years later, we might be going back to the past and have air to electricity. Our research could pave the way for turning electricity from the atmosphere into an alternative energy resource for the future, said study leader Fernando Galenbach, Ph.D., at the 240th National Meeting of the American Chemical Society. Tesla was a true genius who invented a large amount of the technological electronic devices we use every day. AC, alternating current, radio, refrigeration, radar, fluorescent and neon lights, and wireless transmission.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.